presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control towers. CX-4 calling control towers. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast. Ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay. This is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airways. Coming in for another transcribed episode of the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
You know, gang, it's pretty common to see fish carts on city street corners even today. But now, those lowly carts have, for the most part, taken to the air. I mean, the planes are going into the fish business. Up to now, fish were sold only in areas right near where they were caught. But now, there's a new business out in San Diego, California, that's going to put fish on the market while they're still wriggling. And here's how the service will work. Every day, an amphibian plane will make the rounds of fishing boats working the grounds off the coast of Southern California. Landing on the water close to the boats, the planes will pick up loads of barracuda, perch, kingfish, rock bass, and other species that tend to spoil quickly. With the load safely tucked aboard, the amphib will make the rounds of cities within 100 miles of San Diego. The new company estimates they can deliver a ton of super fresh fish to markets in 3 or 4 hours. Well, previously, it took 3 or 4 days of travel by boat and truck. The fishermen themselves are pretty happy about the new idea, for it saves them the trouble of carrying ice to and from the fishing grounds. Also, it gives them more time to do the actual fishing. Under ordinary conditions, many fishing boats have to head for port with only partial loads because the fish would spoil if they stayed out of the water too long. Because of the speed and versatility of the amphibians, the fisherman can catch more fish and the consumer gets his fish fresh out of the water. In just a few minutes, gang, I'll be back with more aviation news. So don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Trouble in the form of a jagged streak of lightning representing a mysterious and powerful organization has dogged Hop's and Tank's footsteps ever since their return to Lakeville. And in our last episode, a new difficulty arose from another quarter. Hop had taken a young man, who professed to be a student, up on a familiarization flight, and the PT-19 in which they were flying suddenly spun out of control. Hop and the student, George Dudley, parachuted to safety, but Dudley accused Hop of reckless flying and threatened to ruin Hop's reputation. Suspicious, the young pilot and his mechanic pal were just leaving the office to examine the wreckage of the trainer when a large black sedan drew up in front of them and two men stepped out. The smiling, arrogant Mr. Brown and his partner, Luigi, representatives of the organization.
Well, Harrigan, going someplace? I'm glad I caught you.
Are you? Listen, you guys, we already told you we didn't want nothing to do with your racket.
I thought maybe you changed your mind, Chum.
No, we ain't. Now climb back into that car.
Wait, Tank. Brown, what made you think we changed our minds?
Oh, figured you saw the light and would want to come over to our way of thinking.
What do you mean, saw the light?
Hop, I just spoke to the Greendale Field and I... Oh.
Get back inside, Gil.
All right, then.
Go on. You were asking me something?
Yes. Why did you think we changed our minds so soon?
Oh, you must have studied them papers I gave you.
I have. Anything else?
Well, I understand you had a busy afternoon.
Meaning what?
It isn't good business to crack up a ship when a student's making his first flight, is it? Especially when you try to scare him.
Wait a minute.
So that's it.
I thought so.
Hmm? You thought what?
You sent that kid over here. It was a trick.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Another cheap, petty blackmail scheme to force us into your organization. If we join, the kid won't say anything.
Well, I guess we can persuade him to keep his mouth shut. You see? It's like I told you. The organization gives you protection.
Hop, I'm fed up. I'm going to toss him clear into next week.
I wouldn't start anything, Tinker.
No, just watch me.
Wait, Tank.
Wait, nothing. Take him, Luigi. Tank,
look out.
Tank.
You should know better than to tango with an ex-wrestler.
Tank, you all right?
Yeah. Wind was knocked out of me.
Well, how about it, Harrigan? Yes or no?
Get off this field.
Stubborn, aren't you? The boss isn't going to like that very well. Okay, come on, Luigi.
Yeah.
Don't think this is the last you'll be seeing of us, Harrigan. It isn't. We'll be back tomorrow morning, and I think by then, you'll change your mind. Okay, Luigi, let's go.
Thank you. dirty.
What? Oh, Tanky, you're sure you're all right?
Yeah, yeah, I'm mad, that's all.
Pop.
Huh? Oh, yes, Gail.
I thought I heard the car leave. What happened? What'd they say?
Same story, another pitch to join the organization. And don't bother checking up on George Dudley.
Oh?
He was a plant. 10-1, we'll find out he did something to the trainer to make it crash.
And if you don't sign up, he'll spread the word that you're a reckless flyer. It'll drive other students away.
That's the way it adds up. Well, look, Gail, what did you want to tell me before?
Oh, I've called 5 of the airports near here. 4 of them are already signed up with the organization, but they're just small landing strips, really, not terribly important.
They give you any dope?
No, they refuse to talk.
And a 5th?
Field at Greendale. The owner, a man by the name of Harry Charles, admitted he was just about ready to give up and sign, but if you know of any way to fight the organization, well, then he'll throw in with you.
Fine.
Yeah, what good does that do us?
Well, at least we won't be alone.
And he still wants to fight if he can.
That's all we need for a beginning, and he may know a little more than we do, too.
What, for instance?
The name of the boss.
Boss?
The one who's at the head of the organization. I'd like to know who he is. Gail, you call the rest of the fields on that list. Find out if there are any others still holding out.
Right.
And call Harry Charles back again. Tell him we're coming out to see him right away. We'll be there in about 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
Thank you. Get the Beechcraft warmed up and ready. It's way past time for us to start slugging.
His lips a thin line of determination, Hop snaps out his orders, and Tank and Gail jump into action. 15 minutes later, the boys are airborne in their Beechcraft, heading for the Greendale Airport, 100 miles to the east.
You checked the plane carefully, didn't you, Tank?
And how? Went over every square inch of her. Control cables, braces, engine, everything. Ain't taking no chances.
Good. Uh-oh. Heads up.
Huh?
We have company.
What do you mean?
Yeah, cutting in from the left. Coming fast.
Hey, it's a Stinson.
Check.
The same one?
There's their lightning insignia on the fuselage.
Dirty rats. What are they going to try now?
I don't know, but this time I'm ready for them. Reach in the back and get the movie camera.
Camera? I didn't know you brought it along.
From now on, we don't go anywhere without it.
Here
you are. You handle it. Take shots of everything they do.
Hey, they're coming in awful close.
We're holding course no matter what they do. Stand by with that camera.
I'm ready.
I think they'll cut in front of us. Go on, start shooting.
You bet. Wow, they are cutting in front of us. It's going to be close.
Never mind. Keep shooting.
I am. Okay, got him.
Good. Stand by. They'll probably make another pass at us.
Boy, they sure got that plane souped up. Flying rings around us.
And did you notice who was at the controls?
Ah,
our ex-student, George Dudley.
What? A little punk. Hey, what's he doing now? Way ahead of us and on the right. He's banking in.
Start shooting.
What for? He ain't done nothing yet.
He will. Start shooting. Straight ahead and adjust the focus to get a shot of our instrument panel.
Hey, if you say so. Hey, he's coming back now.
Uh-huh. Just as I thought, right on our course.
Hop, he's coming for us head on.
Keep that camera going.
But Hop, you'll smack into it.
That depends on Mr. Dudley. I'm holding course.
As Tank continues to operate the movie camera with now trembling fingers, Hop keeps the Beechcraft forging steadily ahead, straight for the onrushing Stinson. But neither plane wavers an inch. We know in a moment, gang, who breaks first, so stand by. If you've been listening to Hop Harrigan every day, gang, you've heard me talk about the XS-1. That's Bell Aircraft Company's experimental rocket-propelled fighter plane now being tested by the Air Forces. To go into the background of the XS-1 for a few moments, it was designed and built especially to crack through the sonic barrier. For years, scientists have been wondering what would happen to an airship manned by a human pilot if it traveled faster than sound. The tremendous development of aviation during the war brought the speed of propeller-driven planes up to about 450 miles an hour on level flight. Jet planes speeded things up, and ships began getting into the 500 and 600 mile an hour class. Over in England, the plane was designed which had the power to exceed the speed of sound. But when the pilot turned the jets on full, the plane hit the invisible barrier and smashed into pieces. When the XS-1 was complete, it was decided to test it out slowly and gradually work up to the sonic barrier instead of making one grand attempt at breaking through. For some time, there hasn't been much news of the Bell rocket plane, but then the other day, a story came out claiming that it had broken through the barrier. Well, of course, the report was unofficial, and all the way down the line from the Muroc, California test base to Air Force headquarters in Washington, the story was denied. Well, only time will tell. But when it's officially announced that a plane has flown better than 750 miles an hour, one of the major milestones in aviation will have been passed. You know, gang, aviation is growing bigger all the time. If you get in on the ground floor when you're young, there's a good chance of working your way up, So plan now to make your career in the air. And always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Flying to the Greendale Airport to confer with Harry Charles, another field owner who is trying to hold out against the organization, Hop and Tank encountered a Stinson marked with the infamous Lightning insignia and piloted by George Dudley. This time, however, the boys are prepared. Tank takes motion pictures of what is happening. Now, Dudley is roaring toward the Beechcraft head-on, threatening a disastrous mid-air crash.
The kid's crazy, Hop. He'll kill us all.
Maybe. Let's see how good his nerve is.
Less than a half mile away. Somebody's got a break.
I won't. Keep that camera going.
I am, but gosh.
He's got more nerve than I thought he had.
Give it up, Hop. Cheer off.
Now.
Open them pearly gates, St. Peter. Here we come.
Tank, he's wavering. There he goes. He's diving out.
Get that stick back, right? Gosh. Another quarter tank we wouldn't have made.
Where's he now, Tank?
He's way back. He ain't turning. He's had enough.
I thought so. They got the pictures all right, didn't you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, round number one for us. Now let's see what Harry Charles can tell us.
This fellow by the name of Brown showed up here about 3 days ago. Told me about the organization and asked me to sign up. Well, I said I'd think about it. When he showed up the next morning, I told him no.
Oh, did anything unusual happen after his first visit?
Well, a student wiped out his landing gear coming in after his first solo.
A student? What was his name?
Dudley.
Uh-huh. He got as far as solo with you?
Well, he showed me his log, and I took him up for a checkout. Seemed like a good enough flyer, so I let him go up alone.
And I suppose he complained about your maintenance.
Yeah. Say, how did you know?
Something similar happened to us. Go on, Mr. Charles.
Well, the second time Brown came around, he wasn't so friendly. Started hinting around about accidents happening and such. I didn't like it, so I told him to beat it. I didn't want no part of his organization.
Then?
Said he'd be back.
I suppose something else happened.
Yes, my gas pumps were knocked over.
Murder. They really did a job on you.
I'm not dumb, Harrigan. I know what the score is. I figure Brown did it.
Well, what happened when he paid you a third visit?
I tried to talk him out of it, but he brought his boss along.
Uh-huh.
Some of the things that fellow said made my hair curl. So I promised to sign up.
You said you saw the boss of the organization. Who is he?
Oh, he's a big fellow. Must weigh around 250 pounds. Smokes cigars.
You mean Luigi?
Oh, no. This fellow had a funny name. Talked kind of funny, too.
Oh, don't you remember his name?
Yeah, now I do.
Hey, stop! Chopper, Jenny, keep down, Tank. He might shoot again. Hey, they're getting away. Come on, Hop.
Wait, Tank. Look.
Oh, my gosh. Mr. Charles, he's shot.
As the powerful roar of a heavy car fades in the distance, carrying the mysterious assailant to safety, Hop and Tank crouch over the still figure of Harry Charles. Hop feels for his pulse. Then shakes his head slowly. So the organization strikes again. Gang, how can Hop and Tank possibly fight against murderers? We'll learn more in our next suspense-packed episode, so be sure to listen. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airwaves. Hold on, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.